This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Right. Ooh, hello there. I guess we don't have a final call because, well, how much of that game do we really want to hear from Lava last night? We're going to hear from a bit of it. Welcome into the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap. Sam Lubman here alongside Dan Devone after the Giants got absolutely shellacked by the Athletics last night in the state capitol. 11-2 is the final score, and it was definitely not as close as that final score would indicate. Giants getting a couple of, at least you tried runs late in that one. Got a Brett Wisely home run in the eighth inning that no one's really going to ever care about. Justin Verlander falls to 0-6 on the season, a 4.84 ERA now after falling to the Athletics, a team that, by and large, he's always had a very successful track record against, and I just don't know what you do with Justin Verlander now at this point. So we'll talk about that, talk a little bit about that absolute disaster class of a game last night, and also, Bob Melvin got some news about him this week. He had his contract option for next year picked up. We will dive into that as well. A lot of this is not going to be one of the more funner topic-filled shows. Dan, how you doing this week?
I'm well. You know, we've had a lot of sort of unexpected Giant games throughout the season. I didn't see that one coming. After playing so well the last two games out in Arizona, especially offensively. Now, I know it was Arizona. You're going into that Mickey Mouse ballpark, and then you get waxed. You're down 9-0 before you know what the hell's going on. I could not foresee what took place last night.
No, and again, it's, you know, Justin again, we're looking at Verlander here, and, you know, this is two starts in a row now against the White Sox and the A's, two teams that aren't very good, two teams that he has very good track records against, and two starts where he wasn't looking awful in those starts. Even last night, he was hitting 95 on the gun, but he was just leaving his stuff up, and the A's were just teeing off of him. They got a run on him in the first, and then it all just fell apart in the second. And he ends up only able to give the Giants 3 innings, 6 runs allowed, 5 strikeouts and a walk. But you said it right there, Dan, after those two games in Arizona, which, again, two uplifting wins, I would say, the Giants had in the desert after just some absolute horrific work there offensively. And all that goodwill just seemed to just go away last night. All those good feelings just poof, gone.
Well, we can go after Verlander, and rightfully so. At least I will. But the offense doesn't get a pass. The offense was bad once again. And even if Verlander was good, they got 2 runs for him. Even if Verlander was on point, that offense once again disappeared. And they continue. Just when you thought they had turned a corner in Arizona, they go right back to who they have been predominantly over the last 2 months. And that's an offense that just simply cannot square anything up and cannot score big numbers in any consistent way.
Well, last night it was a familiar reason for the Giants' offensive struggles going against J.P. Sears, who got the win. He improves to 7-7. And Dan, he is that ultimate bugaboo for the Giants. He is a lefty. And you know how those lefty starters just have completely flummoxed the Giants this year. And, I mean, J.P. Sears, he's not a bad pitcher. He's an all right pitcher. I mean, his numbers look kind of gross this year, obviously, when you're pitching in a minor league ballpark that is Sutter Health Park. But, yeah, Sears, great night from him. Six innings pitch, no runs allowed, struck out six. He looked about as good as he did and as good as he has all year long. And, you know, that first inning, right off the bat, you start to feel bad you start to get a bad feeling about this team because, you know, Kruk and Kipe, you know, they're on the broadcast, and Kipe was talking about how the batter's eye in at Sutter Health Park can be difficult for the hitters. And I'm watching where Sears is releasing the ball. And where Sears is releasing the ball with his left hand, it's going to be backlit by the sun splashing on the wall out there in center field. Because the way the shadows were, they were kind of cutting across the infield, where the infield was in shadow and the outfield wall was in the sun. And where the ball was coming from, it was going to be having that, you know, the sun backdrop right behind it, which I could think, you know, what might make the ball a little bit difficult to see. And, you know, Willy Adames, in his first at-bat, he saw six pitches and he swung at zero of them and ended up striking out. And I wonder if he could even see that ball at all. And then Justin Verlander comes out. He's throwing from the other side. There's not as much sun backdrop on his release point, and the A's start teeing off on him right away. And then it's like, well, okay, is there a backdrop issue or not? Regardless if that was the case or not, they allowed J.P. Sears to get into a real groove early on in that game, and the Giants were cooked at that point.
Yeah, I would give maybe the backdrop a little bit more credibility if this is a Giant team that has been hitting over the last couple of months.
Seems like every backdrop seems to do this to them, exactly.
And the same thing with Verlander. I want to say he threw the most first ball strikes, which is something that he was very conscious of getting into the last night's game. And he was throwing his fastball, and he was locating it. The problem is that I don't know if it's age, but there is no movement on that thing. And you throw a major league hitter. Now, I don't want to sound like Johnny Baseball, like I played in the MLB, but I've seen enough baseball where I can tell you that if you come up in the zone, I don't care how hard you're throwing it, major league baseball players, even though they play in a minor league park like that of the Oakland A's, are going to tattoo you. And that's exactly what they did. And I don't think it was any fluke. That is just Verlander giving you meatballs up in the zone and a consistent diet of it.
Mm-hmm. And the A's absolutely were pouncing on it. And it's, again, it's just, I don't know what you do with Verlander at this point, because as you said, Dan, the stuff is there. Like, he's throwing 95, he's hitting his marks, he's throwing the ball where he wants to throw it. But what the A's are doing, again, they just weren't fooled by anything that he was throwing at him, that he was throwing at them yesterday. And they took advantage of it early on, put the Giants down in a massive 5-0 hole. And, of course, they didn't get any help from the defense, too. Elliot Ramos, he kind of fumbled the ball out there a couple times. He had a couple times where he dropped the ball in the exchange, which allowed the A's to take an extra base there and
score a run.
Keep run scoring there. I think Brent Rooker, both of his doubles happened because Elliot Ramos couldn't cleanly field the ball. And that's something that, unfortunately, keeps rearing its ugly head. The new kid, Sergio Alcantara, who was brought up, made his Giants debut. He kicked the ball around a little bit as well. It was just, you know, a lot of just more messy defense. Brett Wisely made an error as well. It was just the Giants just basically fell back into all of their bad habits that you like to think that they were kind of moving away from. And no, last night showed that those bad habits are still very much alive, well, and kicking.
And I'm one that believes that when you play like that, it's a result of a bad coaching, and in this instance, bad managing. Now, I know that's a mouthful for a guy that got re-upped in Bob Melvin, but I do want to talk about it because I'm just a firm believer that details matter, and there's some coaches that from day one emphasize that is not tolerant, right? We have a zero policy for what you're doing, Elliot Ramos, and they become more conscious of it. Same with base running mistakes. Now, you can blame it on Matt Williams. You can point a finger at Pat Burrell. But who hires those guys? Who creates the culture? It's Bob Melvin. And I'll just harken back to, because I know a lot of people are out on Gabe Kapler. One thing about Gabe Kapler, almost to a fault, he was such a detail-oriented guy. I mean, everything.
They're very meticulous.
Very meticulous, right down to base running and right down to defense, although their defense was good at times and better at others. And
the
also,
people, I'll push back a little bit there because the base running had issues too.
It did.
Gabe Kapler was very meticulous on the details, but there was a lot that just kind of made it worse though on the times when they weren't as buttoned up as of a team. And there was a lot of times where Giants were facing pitchers when Gabe Kapler was running the show, and the hitters just looked absolutely unprepared for what they were seeing. Like they looked like they were expecting one sort of approach from this pitcher, and they got something completely different. They just looked completely lost. So, I mean, yeah, Gabe Kapler was detail-oriented, but there was a lot of times where even his teams just looked completely unprepared, much like the Giants did last night.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I don't think that this is very different, this year's version of the Giants, than what it is we saw the last couple of years from Gabe Kapler. And I would argue that this is a better starting lineup. So we can get into Bob Melvin, which I clearly welcome that conversation, but just to once again to revisit last night's game, I think now pitching becomes a concern.
Absolutely.
With Hayden Birdsong and Al Verlander, we sort of, yes, hitting is something that they need to certainly deal with. I'm a believer that I'm very optimistic that the offense actually is going to get better, as ridiculous as that sounds. I do implore all of you out there, you Giant fans, to have a little patience, because Casey Schmidt will be back, Chapman will be back, I think Adames is showing signs, and there's nowhere to go up for players like Bailey and Jung-Hoo Lee. I do think the offense will be better. I think the concern now is the back half of that pitching staff.
Which is wild. A month ago, we were feeling so good about this team's pitching, and the hitting was the issue. Now, all of a sudden, to your point, Dan, yeah, you're absolutely correct. The hitting is looking a lot better. Willy Adames has quietly, over the last 23 games, hit .300 at the plate. He is looking like he is starting to finally arrive, heat up, and show up. And that would be a massive development for this team. They are expected to get Matt Chapman back this evening. He played a rehab game last night, and clearly one rehab game was enough. And the plan is to insert him into the lineup tonight. So hopefully that'll give the lineup just some more structure there, and that will be better off for this team. But hopefully Chapman can hit the ground running, because they need offensive help from wherever they can get it. Adames heating up, that would be great. Jung-Hoo Lee had a very promising game on Thursday night in Arizona that I thought he could build off of. Had his first three-hit game since May 6th, I believe. And then last night goes 0-for-4 with a strikeout. So kind of regresses there in a sense, and had a really bad defensive miscue. It was in the sixth inning trying to chase down a Denzel Clark fly ball. Ends up losing it. Clark gets a triple out of it. And that ends up being another run there for the A's. Ends up starting a three-run rally for the A's in that inning, which, again, you know, at that point, the Giants were down 6-0. The game was more or less over at that point. But you could at least, you know, talk yourself into. Well, at one point on the broadcast, you know, Elliot Ramos steps up with runners on first and third. And Kiper's like, oh, you know, you're one swing away from a 6-3 game. We'll see what happens. It's like, stop it. Stop. We know that's not going to happen. And, yeah, so Jung-Hoo Lee, though, the defensive miscue there, the defense in general, again, last night, just it's just one of those games, like, can we just get something to work? Can we get someone to hit? Can we get someone to field? Can we get someone to pitch? No, we're going to go 0-for-3 in those sectors. And, oh, and then, of course, we had more horrific situational hitting, too, with the fourth and fifth innings. The Giants had first and second, no out, and got zero runs. It was just complete system failure all around for the Giants last night.
Yeah, just to start with the defense, first of all, Alcantara, that's a guy you're never going to see again. That's out of
that might have been his one game. Yeah.
That's no Casey Schmidt. That's no Christian Kos. Kos, by the way, suddenly was your best hitter when he went down. And I think that the Giants just, that was out of complete need, the reason that you saw that young man. I think Willy Adames, to go along with his hitting, I think the defense has been much better. And I think that's worth noting, with Adames, who wasn't doing anything really well early on in the season. Not only was he not hitting, but he couldn't play defense either. I think both of those have sort of rounded into shape over the last couple of weeks. I'm optimistic about the offense, as I just mentioned. The defense, I just have no answer for. I think Elliot Ramos is a hitter. I think we're beginning to recognize that, right? Like, he is a hitter, yeah. And his defense is just something that you're going to have to sort of grin and bear it. And I think a lot of good hitters in this league, unfortunately. Devers was one of those guys that, like, well, listen, we can't take his bat out of the lineup. We have a DH, so Elliot Ramos is going to play one of the corner outfield spots. But he's never been a good fielder.
No, and yeah, again, so Domus has come around. But yeah, Ramos, I feel like it's just going to be one of those things where you're just going to have to kind of grin and bear it unless they can work with him. You know, this is probably a spring training thing you're going to have to work with him on in terms of improving his defense out there. Look, the Giants have had success in the past while getting very little to no defense from their left fielders. Again, this is the organization that once had Barry Bonds standing out in left field and guys like Rajee Davis, Jason Ellison, and Jeffrey Hammonds patrolling two-thirds of the outfield to compensate. You know, this is a the same organization that once, you know what, let's just plop Travis Ishikawa in left field, even though he's never played there before, and just have him hold that position for the most important games of the year. So this organization has gotten by with shoddy defense out in left field, but when you see it happen last night like it did, when it's like, it's one thing to not be able to get to a fly ball in time. It's another thing to misplay a fly ball here and there every now and then, which even great fielders, that happens. We saw it happen with Jung-Hoo Lee last night. But when you're dropping the ball, just trying to exchange it from glove to hand, like, dude, what are we doing here at that point? Like, come on. Like, you got to be at least better than that. There's been balls that have bounced out of his glove. There's balls that kicked off his glove. It's just, there are times out there where Elliot Ramos' defense is almost Little League-esque. And it will look the other way as long as he is hitting. He's probably going to be an all-star again this year. He should be an all-star again this year. But he's far away from any sort of gold glove debates right now.
Well, I think it's part of the maturation process, if you will, that somebody, whether it's his agent, whether it's a manager, has got to blow in his ear and say, listen, you're still a young man. But if you want to be a complete baseball player, and really what sort of hits home with these guys, if you want to get paid and you really want to get paid, then you've got to pay attention to things that are correctable. Like, you have to put an emphasis and put the work in defensively. Because to me, this isn't about angles. This isn't about getting back on balls. This is just sort of like you're checking out mentally.
It's an effort thing.
And I think that's fixable. And conversely, I think part of the reason why I'm tolerant of Yastrzemski is because he plays a good right field defensively. And his numbers he's like a .250 hitter.
He's a streaky hitter.
Yeah. And his .750, .730 OPS is what it is. But he's the sort of guy that, especially when you think about playing at Oracle, much like that of the catcher's position, right field is where you need a defender. You can't just, you know, the idea of like when Luciano was toiling in the outfield in Sacramento, oh, let's just put him out in right field.
No, this is not a simple right field here.
You don't do that. And that's why I think on the other end of the spectrum, while Yastrzemski makes sense, and I'm willing to swallow Yastrzemski, even though a lot of people are like, I need more out of that guy. No, his defense certainly makes up for whatever it is that you're expecting in terms of the offense from that guy.
No, absolutely. I agree with you there. And yeah, I think he's probably the best defensive right fielder the Giants have had at Oracle Park. And they've had some good ones. I mean, obviously, again, Jose Cruz.
You always have that sense of security when there's a ball hit that way.
Exactly. No, I feel like Randy Winn played that right field about as good as you could have asked anyone. Hunter Pence knew that right field very well, but he was kind of limited as a defender.
Bad arm.
Not the greatest arm either. Mike Yastrzemski's got the arm. He's got the know-how. He knows how to play that right field. You always feel secure with him out in right field. So, yeah, that allows you to kind of put up with the streakiness that he has to a degree, as long as he's not your, you know, cleanup hitter. But with Elliot Ramos, this is a guy who, I mean, they're talking about, there are talks, whispers, nothing I think would say is concrete or official, about him potentially getting an extension soon. He's getting up to that point where he's going to start getting his arbitration eligible seasons or eligible years, and the Giants are going to want to lock him up long term. This is the guy who they look at as a key part of their future core. And they do have a legitimate core here together right now with Will, you know, with Adamas, with Chapman, with Devers, with Logan Webb. Like, they got a truly good veteran core here, Jung-Hoo Lee as well. And Elliot Ramos, they're going to want him to be the younger end of this core that they're going to be rolling with here for the next several years. And if they're going to give him that extension, they need to know that if they're going to tie themselves to this guy, that it's going to be worth it. The defense, again, that is correctable. The effort is correctable, because it's not just the defense for me, Dan. There's been times where he's got, you know, the slow grounders, the third base, and he's jogging like he's been a 20-year vet. It's like, dude, you're still on your first contract. You're still on your rookie deal. Like, you got to be running these ground balls out. Third baseman drops the ball or overthrows or something like that. You know, you could cost yourself a potential infield single or an extra base because you're not running hard enough. Things like that, those little things like that from Ramos, they start to add up. And then when you have a night like last night, they're gonna bubble up to the surface and kind of come to a head as they are right now.
Yeah, he still has 5 years where he's under team control. He's not a free agent until 2030.
Oh, so yeah, he's not going anywhere for a while.
No. But maybe he's aware of that. Maybe there's also a feeling that he has the leverage, because what are you going to do? I'm the only guy who can hit on this baseball team, you know? And he's right to a certain degree, but he does. I really, when I see that sort of stuff, it's analogous to football teams. And when teams jump off sides and make silly mistakes that are correctable, then it just gets back to me to coaching and management. And I do want to get into Bob Melvin, because a lot of this is getting a little bit ugly, because it's sort of the intangible stuff. Like it's the base running, it's the defense. I know we can go after Elliot Ramos, but I'm telling you, when there's a structure, I remember I used to do the Mike Holmgren show, and he said, listen, we may lose games, but we will never, never shoot ourselves in the foot. Thank you very much. And that team every single year committed the least number of penalties in the NFL. So I know that it can be done. It's just a matter of whether there's an emphasis there in terms of the powers that be, or from a managerial standpoint. I'm not the biggest Bob Melvin fan, so I was a little surprised. I don't like the way, you know, things ended out in San Diego, where he had one of the most talented team with Snell and Tatis and all those boys, and he was two games over 500. I know there was, you know, I don't mean to revisit all this. I know issues with Preller and there was internal bickering, but
part of it falls on him too. He's the manager.
Yeah, and I get it. He's so well respected. He's smart. Chapman loves this guy. But I do think that there's some warts that I don't think that, you know, he shouldn't go as this team continues to struggle and be underwhelming. Then I think that it's okay to put the crosshairs not only on the players, but also Bob Melvin as well.
No, I'm in agreement with you there. And I think, you know, the statement I hear on Bob Melvin a lot is he'll get you to the playoffs, but he won't get you through the playoffs. You know, he's a good manager. He's not a great manager. He's basically like, you know, when you're going home and you're saying, you know, we want Bruce Bochy and we have Bruce Bochy at home, you get home, there's Bob Melvin. Like that's what I see Bob Melvin as. He's a good manager, not a great manager. And this year, though, these last 2 years, he's kind of had as good of a situation as he could possibly ask for. He's got a front office that's willing to back him. He's got players that are falling in behind him. He's got a great coaching staff alongside of him, helping him out. And still, though, it feels like there's another level that this team should be able to access, and it's just not happening yet. Now, in regards to, yeah, Bob Melvin getting the extension this week, it wasn't an extension, it was an option that was picked up this week. So he has an option for next year. He will be back now officially. And two things on that. One, it doesn't mean for certain that the Giants are 100% locked in with Bob Melvin, in theory. But the other part of what it says is it shows that Buster Posey, again, comes down to Buster too. He will back up his words with actions. And if he's going to give his vote of confidence to Bob Melvin, which he did give to Susan Slusser earlier this week, and we were wondering, is that the dreaded vote of confidence that you give a guy right before he gets fired? It clearly wasn't. He backed that action up by, you know, putting pen to paper and bringing Bob back for this next year. So he's not, again, the Giants could just move on, could still fire him, but for Buster to make a public declaration like that, in the way that he did, I feel like at this point, this week, Buster Posey officially married himself to Bob Melvin, at least for next season, at least for the time being. Like, because coming into this year, Buster was not, you know, Bob was not Buster's guy. Yeah, Bob, you know, Buster had a lot of respect for Bob, but, you know, Farhan Zaidi hired Bob Melvin, not Buster Posey. And it's not uncommon for new executives to come in and want to hire their own guys. And I felt like this year is kind of like a show me year for Bob Melvin. And Buster Posey is asking Bob Melvin to show me why I should keep you on. And it's a very interesting way of showing of Buster to show that, yeah, Bob, you proved me right. So,
yeah, it's a good point, because I think that typically in sports, and certainly in Major League Baseball, that you want the GM or the president of baseball ops and the manager to be joined at the hip. Usually they'll go into things together. Like Lynch and Shanahan, you don't want to inherit something. You don't want to be lame duck. You want there to be familiarity. Those two have to be on the same page. And usually they'll have a history together, they'll have a friendship, and they know one another. And the working relationship is something that produces positive results. So you usually want to go in with your guy, because more often than not, it doesn't work if you inherit somebody. I would say that it's a vote of confidence. I don't know if I would go as far as to say that he married himself to Bob Melvin, because it's not like it's a 3 or 5 year extension. It's a 1 year option. They could clearly, if they go into the tank, and if this team is really bad in September, listen, Buster Posey can eat the 1 year. It's a 1 year deal.
Yeah.
And Buster Posey can clearly go in a different direction. So I was surprised. I would have waited, but I can understand where Buster's coming from. And the one thing I do, and this sort of was crystallized when Buster Posey was in the press this past week, is that you're getting it from a guy who's been there. Like, you're getting it from a guy who's been in the locker room. And when he speaks, it's like, this is what's best for team. How do I know? I've been there. I've been in those walls. I've been in the clubhouse. So this is the best thing in terms of the vote of confidence, what this team needs right now. But I don't think he's marrying himself, because it's a 1 year, it's an option for a year. And if this team is really bad, I would not be surprised if Buster Posey was to revisit this.
Well, yeah, I agree there. And this is a team that is good enough to make the playoffs with this roster as is. And, you know, I said, you know, after the Rafael Devers trade, that this kind of ups the pressure on Bob Melvin a little bit, because now this roster looks much, much better with Devers in the lineup. When Chapman comes back, this lineup will look much, much better. And when you have the full complement there, which Bob Melvin will have now starting tonight, you know, there's no excuse. Like, as Buster Posey said, it's time to go. So that's Dan Devone. I'm Sam Lubman. 888-957-9570 is the number. Bob Melvin got his option picked up this week. How are we feeling about that, Giants fans? Love to hear your thoughts on that. What do we do with Justin Verlander? What's the biggest issue for the Giants right now? We will take any and all Giants takes all morning long. That's what we do here on The Wrap. Shout out to everyone who's watching on YouTube. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. We got some fun stuff to talk about on the show this morning. And then Justice De Los Santos will be joining us at 11 o'clock. He covers the Giants for the Bay Area News Group. That will be courtesy of the River Islands guest line. Again, that is Dan Devone. I am Sam Lubman. More Giants talk coming up next on The Wrap. That is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
I mean, bring it on, man.
And that's the ballgame. Well, the Giants come into Sacramento for a game that counts for the first time.
This is stupid.
Now back to the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, this is one of those games last night. It is the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap. Sam Blumen here with Dan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
End of phone. We are coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed right here in San Francisco. Justice Kalo Santos will be joining us on the River Islands guest line at 11 o'clock. And later on tonight, looking for some hoops action. Well, there's the California Classic that's happening right now at Chase Center. I believe the Warriors and Lakers are facing off today, but not the Warriors and Lakers that you know of. It's the young draft picks of the Warriors. We'll be facing off against the young draft picks of the Lakers. But if you're looking for some regular season hoops that has meaning, tonight at 5 o'clock, the Valkyries take on the Minnesota Lynx in Minnesota, and you can catch that game on the Valkyries channel on the Odyssey app. Just download the app and search Valkyries. Anyway.
There's more Valkyrie buzz in this town.
There is so much Valkyrie buzz in this town. I have not been able to procure a ticket yet. I've been trying to get to it. It is the hot ticket in town.
They sell out, right?
Every game is sold out. I hit up, we got our guy R.C. Davis, the producer with the Warriors. He's kind of our go-behind-the-scenes ticket guy, and I hit him up a few weeks ago, like, you know, is there anything available? And he's like, even Valkyrie's team employees are not able to get tickets right now because this thing is just so sold out that there is literally no tickets available. So it is incredible how much of a hot ticket the Valkyrie games have become. Risotto and Zach, our crack staff in the back, they're covering these games all the time, so they get to have all sorts of fun at these games. It's a lit time, is it not? Let's see who responds first. We got to pot yourself up first there, Steven. It's hard to hear you when you don't pot your mic up. Well, he doesn't have his headphones in either, so he can't hear what I'm saying. Well, all right, we'll try again next time. I remember my first
thing, man.
Hey, by the way, it's good to have Pasta and Zeebo back in the hopper today.
Am I really back, though, if I can't even unmute myself?
Oh, well, you know what? Hey, I remember my first day in radio, too. It's all good. Yeah, Zach, you
wait, that's the drop of the day. Am I what give that to me again?
If I can't even unmute myself?
Thank you. That's going on the gravestone, my man.
Zach, you get to those Valkyries games. How much fun are those? He's not even turned the mic on.
Zeebo and Pasta,
yeah,
ladies and gentlemen.
We're just 0 for 2 on getting our mics on back there. I try to throw you guys a bone, you throw it right back at me. So, all right, well, it would have been nice to know what the Valkyrie games are like, but that's just not going to happen today. So I guess we'll just talk about the Giants, I guess. Giants 11-2 losers. There we go. Unfortunately, the window was freshly shut, unfortunately. We'll try next time, Zach. 11-2 is the final last night. A's absolutely waxed the Giants. A's get their first win over the Giants this year. And I don't know if there's a trophy that is being played for this year between the Giants and the A's. There's the Bridge Trophy that Brody Brazil started up a few years ago that was famously made with a piece of the Bay Bridge. Were you for or against the Bridge?
No, that thing was silly.
I liked it, actually.
Yeah, I couldn't get it.
It was like the Cal Stanford axe. I love having a physical thing to play for.
Well, but the axe goes back over 150 years.
The tradition had to start somewhere. You know, if the A's and Giants were still in the Bay Area for another 150 years, that Bridge Trophy would, I'm sure, have lots of history and legacy behind it. Unfortunately, we only got, I think, what, 6 years?
Okay, so my opinion is of the early years, and I don't like it.
Yeah.
Get back to me on 150, and it might have some value.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if we even still pass it around. I mean, what, do we just, like, take a chunk of concrete from Highway 80 and use that now? We call it the UC Davis Trophy.
By the way, I would like to, at some point, in all seriousness, talk about that park. That's ridiculous. That's
if you want to talk about that park right now, we could talk about that park right now.
That's an embarrassment to baseball.
Mm-hmm.
in all seriousness, that they cannot, and I don't care what's going on with Fisher and the Bozos with the Oakland A's. If I'm Manfred, there's an edict. Like, you have to procure a Major League Baseball stadium if you want to play in this league. I don't care of your situation. You fix it out. You fix it in Oakland or Vegas or where, or go play with the A's or the Dodgers. If you want to be a vagabond, you cannot play in that ballpark. That is not MLB standard. And as the commissioner, that's not up to snuff to the product that I put out on a daily basis.
And the great, like, what's really even funnier about all this or more embarrassing about all this is you could say everything you just said, Dan, times two, because the Rays are also playing a minor league ballpark this year.
The Yankees summer facility.
Yeah, two separate major league teams are playing in minor league ballparks, and people will literally look you dead in the eye and say that Rob Manfred's actually been good for baseball. It is absolutely... This season alone and everything, just everything with this horrifically farcical movement of the A's to Las Vegas with Rob Manfred and John Fisher flaking on the city and Dave Conman Cavill and all what he did to completely just dupe the A's and their fan base into thinking, or the A's fan base into thinking that he was a guy who was actually going to work for that, work with the fans to try and make that ballpark. I remember Cavill, he had that those office hours when he first arrived. Hey, A's fans, come and tell me what you want. We'll make it happen. That is just, when you do stuff like that and then pull the rug out under a fan base like him and Fisher did, like, that is ultimate sports scumbag stuff right there. And putting them in Sutter Health Park, we have lawn seating at Major League Baseball games. Like, that's just how ridiculous this is. This is real Major League Baseball games, and those games are supposed to mean something. Like, Major League Baseball, there is a pageantry to game days. There is a feel. There is an atmosphere that the game is supposed to have. And there's almost like a magic to it. You know, we were talking about magic earlier because Steven Rizzotto was talking about how much he hates Disneyland. And, you know, that's kind of like how Rob Manfred feels about baseball. It's the same way that Steven Rizzotto feels about Disneyland right now. Just completely sick and tired of it. I'm just teasing, of course. Rizzotto spent 3 days in Disneyland, and I guess 2 days is...
2 days is more than enough.
There you go, yeah. But yeah, Rob Manfred, it was, the problem with Manfred is just he looks at the game as the only thing that matters is the bottom line. You know, the finances, the corporate level of it. And that is what you've seen this game become over the last few years, is a very sterile product meant to boost corporate gains. And as a result, you have a game that is devoid of emotion, devoid of any charm or magic, and you have a commissioner who has no issue sticking two teams in minor league ballparks for an entire season and thinking that it's okay. It is an insult to the game of baseball that this is transpiring.
You know, it's almost like if you want to host a Super Bowl, you'll put in a bid. And so, and I'm taking the extreme here as an example. But the committee, well, the NFL will, first of all, look at, you have to have a certain seating capacity of somewhere upwards to 65 to 70,000. What's it like in terms of hotels? Is there, you know, is there public transport? All of, much like that of the Olympics. Now, you don't have to get to that level, but if you're going to be a Major League Baseball team and play in our league, there are certain standards that you have to meet, and you cannot play in a Mickey Mouse ballpark that has a capacity of 13,000 people.
And they're still not even selling it out.
And not, there was 12,000 last night, and it seats 13,500 or something. That's silly.
It was, well, that's because Giants fans showed up.
And the way the ball, not to mention playing in that place. I don't blame Luis Arvino. Because, and I know people get on him like, well, dude, you signed the contract. It's not as though you were under contract and they moved. And you have, no, if you play for the Oakland A's, and you're a player that's upset having to play in that ballpark, I'm with you, man. I'm with you. I'll get behind you 7 days out of the week. And more often than not, baseball players sometimes can be wrong and greedy. But in this instance, listen, if you don't want to pitch in that park, Luis, I understand where you're coming from. Dude, you're a major leaguer. You play with the Yankees and the Mets, and now you're in this hellhole? I hear you. You should just... Your team should boycott and just say, you know what? We're not getting out of the damn bus today. Get us out of here. Have you seen their home record? Only the Rockies have the worst, a worse home record than that of the Oakland A's.
No, and I think Severino, I mean, Again, he's 2-9 with a 5.09 ERA on the season. He is 0-7 with a 6.79 ERA and 57 innings pitched at Sutter Health Park this year. Hitters are hitting 300 off of him there. And he has been very open about how much he disdains pitching at Sutter Health Park. He has been very clear about just the way it's all set up, because you got the clubhouse is out in the outfield. Usually, you know, pitchers like to go down the tunnel behind the dugout into the clubhouse that way, because that's how you access the clubhouse.
Like behind, old candlestick.
Yeah, it's behind the dugout. But here, he can't do that. He has to sit in the dugout the entire game, which, again, I know, oh, he has to sit in the dugout the entire game. How awful. But baseball players are creatures of habit. They have routines that they do every day. Those routines are what allow them to go out and play baseball well. They need that. That's just how you think about everyone in your everyday life. I mean, Dan, you have your morning routine. I have my morning routine. I have my evening routine. Like, we all have routines in our day that we go about. And I just want, you know, everyone out there driving around, think about what your routine is. Think about what your daily routine is. And think how annoyed you get when something small or stupid interrupts your own personal daily routine. Now, imagine that your routine is being ruined and you're making millions of dollars playing a high-stakes game at the highest level. Like, it ramps up. It adds up. It becomes a serious issue that these guys have to deal with. And it just shows a complete lack of understanding from the powers that be in Major League Baseball that they think this would be okay. If they truly understood this game, they truly understood its players, they would not be forcing them into this comical situation when you have a perfectly good facility. Well, I don't know about perfectly good, but you have a usable facility in the Coliseum in Oakland. The reason you're not doing it, though, is you're just being petty. You want to be petty with the city of Oakland, and you don't want to do things the simple way. So you do this whole little cockamamie farce thing, and you put on a smiling face and say, oh, no, it's great. It's going to work out. And everyone can see just how much of a sham this really is.
So you have not been to Candlestick Park to see a Giants game. Is that correct?
I, unfortunately, the only time I made it to Candlestick was to see a couple Niner games. I was not old enough. I did not get to a Candlestick game.
So it sort of reminds me, the visiting team did not have a clubhouse that you could access via the locker room at the Stick.
Oh, really?
So okay. After the game, it was brutal. Like, they would have to walk down the right field line and go out through the right field gate to access their locker room or their clubhouse. It was one of the many, many things that was wrong with Candlestick, but it still has a very soft place in my heart. Where's the crazy crab when you need him? But here's the thing about Sacramento, is that ever since I've been alive, they, along with San Jose, have been vying for a major league franchise. Like, Sacramento has some passionate fans, or so I thought, but they always wanted. They were bidding for the A's way back in the day, as well as the Giants, when there were issues with ownership. This is embarrassment. This is a poor reflection on the city of Sacramento. When you're playing games in West Sacramento and these games are getting televised regionally and people are watching this going, this is Sacramento, this is a Mickey Mouse town and a ballpark and a city that's not equipped to handle Major League Baseball. And that may not be the case, but that, you know, that's what's being that's the feeling that I think is sort of being the sentiment that is pervasive right now when you see baseball games being played and or televised from that Sutter Health Park is an embarrassment, not only to the city of Sacramento, but to all of baseball. And it gets back to how the hell you can allow a team and your product to put that out there is beyond me.
I mean, this is the same guy who once called the World Series trophy a piece of metal because it was easier to do that rather than hold the Houston Astros accountable for cheating in the World Series. I mean, that's just how this guy views the game.
He does feel like there should be an asterisk next to a loss.
Yeah.
If you played and you lost in Sacramento, there should be an asterisk that, well, it was in Sacramento.
Like, sorry, you lost this game, but you also had to deal with Rob Manfred nonsense. So it's like, if we have the Manfred runner, we could have the Manfred asterisk that we could put on the losses there. But, you know, I'm going to defend the city of Sacramento a little bit because this is a city, as you said, they want Major League sports. They rally behind the Sacramento Kings to keep the Kings there when it looked like the Kings were going to be heading up to the Pacific Northwest or somewhere up there. And, you know, we could make a joke out, oh, I'm sure they regret that now. No, Kings fans want their Kings in Sacramento. That fan base rallied around that team. They have shown that that city has shown that they will rally around Major League sports, and they want baseball badly, and they've had minor league baseball, and the city of Sacramento absolutely wanted to use these 3 years to showcase that they can hold a major league team. Whether it be the A's when John Fisher inevitably fumbles this Vegas project, which, by the way, you want to talk about all-time shams of groundbreaking. The one that they had last week down in Las Vegas, where they had a little sandbox there and they forced Chris Townsend to shovel a shovel into the dirt to symbolize the groundbreaking. It's like, we all know y'all ain't breaking ground on anything down there. Stop it. But thank you for that buzzer. But the city of Sacramento really wanted to use this as an opportunity to show that when this all falls apart, that they could take the A's in. And honestly, I don't hate the idea of the A's in Sacramento. I feel like that could be that's a market that would absolutely embrace the A's, and they would have their own place to kind of run around. They'd have their own room for activities. They wouldn't have to share the Bay Area with the Giants anymore. But the A's in Major League Baseball are in no way, shape, or form allowing Sacramento to try and showcase itself as a major league city. They're calling themselves the Athletics, not the Sacramento Athletics. It's the ATH in the scorebook, not the SAC. They're forcing them to wear Athletics on the jerseys. There will be no Sacramento on those jerseys. The only form of Sacramento branding you can get at Sutter Health Park is the little patch that they wear on their sleeve, which also comes with a Viva Las Vegas patch or something like that. So it's like the only reference to Sacramento comes with the caveat of, but also Las Vegas. So Sacramento's kind of getting a raw deal the same way that these players are getting a raw deal as well and having to deal with the nonsense up there.
Yeah, I don't blame Sacramento and the fan base. This is just a poor reflection on them. Yeah. I don't care how it is.
It is made to look poor on them, yeah.
Yeah, so they're the losers in this because when you watch a game from Sacramento, you're like, what? What is this? You're not.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Equipped to handle a major league franchise. And this is just a bad look for everybody. It's a bad reflection on the city of Sacramento. And again, if you're Manfred and this is Major League Baseball, for crying out loud, This cannot be a professional ballpark. And you cannot allow baseball, if at the beginning of the season, if the minute you toiled around and looked at this stadium and they proposed playing it for 3 years, if you're Manfred, you're like, no. No, this is not up to snuff. Mm-hmm. We have a standard we have to live by, for crying out loud.
What this is, you're absolutely right. What this is, though, is one man's beef with a city. Now, of course, Sheng Tao and her administration did, I think, the A's and this fan base no favors in terms of how they handled things. She was good at standing up and playing the part and saying the lines. You know, she came on the morning roast famously, and she called John Fisher out for the BS that he's doing. She didn't say BS. She said the full-on thing. First mayor to get dumped on 95.7 The Game airways. But, you know, she said all the right things. I don't know if it's a name drop, but then what happens? She gets pinched for fraud and ends up getting recalled, and that whole thing falls apart. And, you know, I found out, you know, the streets were talking, and the actual work being done behind the scenes to keep the A's in Oakland by Sheng Tao's staff was not what was being presented publicly. I'll just say that. I don't think there was as much of a drive by city leadership to keep the A's in Oakland. And I don't think that's because they didn't want to keep the A's in Oakland. I think it was, unfortunately, a mayoral administration that was just in over its head and falling apart. And now you got a situation where the city of Oakland and Major League Baseball, the relationship is just so gross right now that, you know, Barbara Lee, she's the new mayor of Oakland now. I don't know if there's any, I mean, like, obviously she said the standard line of we're open to working with Major League Baseball, blah, blah, blah. But it feels like there's no impetus on either side to work with the other side at this point to try and salvage this and make it work for the next couple of years, because Sutter Health Park is just, it's just not feasible. It's just not. They cannot make the A's play two more years in this ballpark. With the Rays, that's a little bit more understandable because, you know, Mother Nature comes through and she does what she wants to do. She rips apart the trop and creates a situation out of nowhere. This is a situation that everybody saw coming from 10,000 miles away and was still allowed to have happen.
Just to bring this back home to the Giants and their inability to hit, because when I watch the ball carry out there, I'm like, this is silly. I don't know if it's the wind coming off the delta, whatever the hell it is. It's just, it is so junior. And I listen, a lot of teams tee off there, but all the more reason why it makes no sense that the Giants were held to two runs and almost, I mean, basically, you know, again, like if you can't hit there, what the hell is going on?
Well, the Giants, this is just Giants offense. They'll make any ballpark look big at the end of the day. And again, it's one night. Hopefully it doesn't carry into tonight. J.P. Sears, I guess, I hate saying this, but you got to tip your cap to him. He had a great night last night.
Isn't that the guy Flores teed off on with the three home runs? Were all three off of Sears?
No, not all three.
Two of them were.
I think it was three different pitchers that night. I'll have to go back and look that up. Or maybe our guys in the back could pull up that Friday night A's game at Oracle Park and tell, remind us who the pitchers were. But while we're doing that, though, the phone number to call or text is 888-957-9570. We're going to go out to the lines. We've got one of our favorites here. Let's go out to New Jersey. Talk to our guy Mitch out in New Jersey. Mitch, what's worse, the Giants' offense or the fact that the A's have to play in Sacramento?
It's close. I say Sacramento. You know, they could be forcing to sell the team because he's a terrible owner. He doesn't want to keep the talent. They should have forced their way to San Jose, but two things. I don't understand why they can't have Sacramento. They're playing Sacramento. You're playing right underneath the governors, right, and all the political big shots, all the money in California. You can't force them to build a better stadium. But how about the minor league team? They should have just coexisted with the Giants until they get the stadium, if it gets ready in Las Vegas. Because originally I wanted to see him play in Utah. I didn't play in Utah or Portland.
Portland, too high. Portland, yeah, I can see Portland working out.
What about San Jose? As Giants territory? Come on, this is it's a free country, right? We got to cut down the territory. Giants are making plenty of money, just have to get more offense for the season, to save the season. Yeah. Anyway, you have a happy 4th, and you have a nice weekend.
Awesome. Thanks for calling in, Mitch. Glad to hear from you there. And, yeah, playing Sacramento worse than the Giants' offense. That just shows how bad played in Sacramento is for this team. But, again, yeah, It seems like with the Giants, it's just, it's bringing it all back there. It's the same conversation every week. How do they get the bats going? But is there a salvation on the way in the form of one Matt Chapman? Bob Melvin has said that when Chapman comes back, we'll see a more structured lineup. We were kind of talking about what we want that lineup to look like last week. Be interesting to see what the lineup looks like tonight. But I believe this is actually going to be the, if this not, this might be the first time we're going to have Chapman and Devers in the lineup yep. together. So be interesting to see what that looks like as well tonight. So it's all, there's potential for this offense to potentially get back on track. Start. I'm not going to say they're going to become Murderers Row or anything like that, but can they at least be the team that at the beginning of the year was moving the line along, showed great situational hitting, was going yeah. the other way? Can you just get back to doing the basic stuff that this team was doing back in April?
Just hit a little bit with this pitching and this bullpen. And I think Chapman is really, really going to help. And now you suddenly look at the left side of the diamond and you're like, okay, this feels good. With Adames and Chapman, Casey Schmidt, if he moves over to second base, Devers, if he picks up a first baseman's glove, suddenly this, call me crazy, but I begin to think that this offense is no longer the big concern. But again, I think that you really have to target the pitching staff. If Verlander is not somebody you can rely on, and at this point, Verlander's got to be going, what the hell why did I go to San Francisco in search of 300? The guy is still looking for his first win. And he hasn't had a lot of run support, but he also hasn't been very good. But now we can't leave out Hayden Birdsong. I don't know what the hell's going on there, but that now becomes a situation. And so, listen, you can, if you have two horses at the front of your staff, the silver lining this week was Robbie Ray. We do at some point, we can't dog the Giants for the next, you know, hour and a half, 2 hours. We at some point,
gotta give Robbie Ray,
the complete game, because now if you go Ray and you go Logan Webb, that actually, in today's baseball, can get you by and win you a series. But there is a concern with, you know, Roop looks good, but Birdsong, and now with what's going on with Verlander, at this point, when you're talking about improvements for the Giants, you're going to have to get someone off the ticker that I think is a veteran pitcher.
Yeah, that's 40% of your starting rotation is a big question mark right now, and as much as I like Landon Roop, even I have to admit, he is still a young starter, and there's going to be a wall that he will probably hit at some point. So it's a lot of work for Bob Melvin and this coaching staff to figure out, but they did just get the big vote of confidence this week. So how much of it is on Bob Melvin now to right this ship? How much of it is it on the players to kind of pull themselves together and right this ship themselves? Want to hear from you guys. 888-957-9570 is the number. We'll take more of your calls on their side. And yeah, what's the pressure like now on Bob Melvin now that his options picked up? And what do we need to see from him the rest of this season for the Giants to actually follow through with picking up that option? So that and more on the other side, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
Do you want to be on top?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave Butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.